Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Prey Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 286 of Nerd Pride Radio. 286, the Intel 286 processor was the last of the 16-bit x86 processors to come out of Intel. It was distinguished from the earlier 8086 and 186 by its ability to run in protected mode, which is something special that I didn't look up, so I don't know exactly what that means. It came out in 1984. It wasn't discontinued until 91. I know I've seen 286 machines in the past, and I'm sure I saw some of them when I was younger, but I wouldn't have known what they were at the time. The 286 was succeeded by the 32-bit 386 processor, and that's the one that was running most of the Windows 3.1 machines, which is the earliest stuff that I remember working with and remember knowing what they were at the time. When I signed on at my current job as computer dude, there was still a lot of 3.1 machines floating around running 386 processors. That's where I was. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome if, a little bit nervous and worried about this whole COVID-19 thing because, we're not under quarantine yet, but, man, it's only a moment or two away from them asking us to self-isolate and the whole business, so we'll see how it goes. It's just all up in the air. Crazy, right? Okay, But other than that, I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every couple of weeks to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios inside the Actors Studio. Yeah. James Lipton died. At least he died a couple weeks ago, like right after our last recording. So, sad. Anyway, it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about all the interesting things I've stumbled across in the last week. If something tickles my nerd fancy during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every time I record. You lucky dogs. Straight into it. It's going to be a fingertips.
Fingertips. Fingertips. Fingertips.
Yeah, first up in the fingertips, because this is all just stuff I don't feel. Mostly, look, some of these could have been segments on their own. They really could have, but more than anything, I just don't feel like doing a lot of editing. I'm recording really late tonight. It's like 10:30 on a Sunday, which means that, but I got to release this thing tomorrow, and I'm not going to be up forever doing this. So by doing a fingertips episode, way less editing for me because I'm lazy. So we're going to start off with, hey, how's it going? You holding up all right? Yeah, I'm a little worried about you. I mean, yeah, I was a little worried about me. It's been a stressful few weeks. You know what I mean? Man, but here's the thing. There's a light at the end. Well, this is weird. In my personal life, we have just been, there's been a lot going on with the end of the quarter. My wife's had a lot of stress at school with students and parents and other things going on. And we've been dealing with some other stuff, minor things, most of it, but time consuming. Just, Oh, my goodness. So now speech season is over, and it's the end of the quarter, and we got a lot of scout stuff out of the way. And just like in my personal life, even if, all right, if there wasn't like this looming pandemic here, all of a sudden things kind of eased up. Like I'm at a moment where I can finally breathe and feel like, oh, okay, we're doing good. And now, of course, you know, now we have the whole uncertainty of all of this going on. So, you know, it's doing all right here, but you guys holding up? I mean, seriously? Like, it's got to be crazy, right? It's crazy for everybody. I sympathize, honestly. So, the real first thing in my fingertips here is the whole COVID-19 thing going on. And look, I know most of you, you're all very smart people, obviously. Otherwise, why would you be here? And so, you know, I'm not going to lecture you because you guys know what's going on. You know what you need to do. But I mean, honestly, this is just a reminder. Just, you know, be careful. You know, take precautions. Follow the guidelines that are handed down. You know, wash your hands a lot. Don't touch your face. Self-isolate if you can. Don't go anywhere that you're going to be unnecessarily exposing yourself or others. I mean, and this is the hard part is there is no vaccine yet, obviously. Vaccine will be here in a year, 2 years, great. But in the meantime, we're all going to get it. All right, we're all going to get it eventually, or at least 70 to 80% of us are going to get it. And that part sucks, but again, if we follow the precautions, we take care, we slow this down, hopefully we do the whole flattening the curve thing, and we have enough resources to take care of everybody as we go. That would be the nice part. So, you know, do your part. Have you come up with a hand washing song yet? Because they recommend that you do Happy Birthday Twice, because that's 20 seconds worth of hand washing if you do Happy Birthday Twice. I do Little Room by the White Stripes, and there are all sorts of articles out there where you can find all sorts of other cool songs that have 20-second choruses or whatever. So find yourself a hand washing song. Make sure you're keeping yourself clean. Try and find some hand sanitizer if there's any left. You know what I mean. Man, because I was in Walmart the other day, I actually literally needed toilet paper. I mean, I already did my doomsday prepper stuff. That, look, we have a freezer with probably a quarter of a cow still left in it. So we've got meat and we've got staples, and we always shop our menu a week ahead of time. So, you know, it didn't take much for me to go out and just get a couple extra staples and things to stock up. We didn't have to really dig in for us as far as food goes. But the things that I did remember were, oh crap, yeah, pet food I don't buy until we're out. Like, literally the bag is empty, that's when I go to the store. So I've started buying one bag ahead, so now as soon as one bag is empty, great, we pull up the emergency bag from the basement, and then I'll buy another one next time I'm at the store. So now, good, we're backed up there. And then toilet paper, and I wasn't in a hurry to get the toilet paper. Should have been, apparently, because then we actually ran out. Like, we needed toilet paper. And when I say ran out, I mean like we had like 5 rolls left, which for us is near crisis mode because we got a lot of butts in our house. People poop. So I ran over to Walmart. I was picking up a couple other things, and the toilet paper aisle, I mean, bare shelves. Yeah, you guys have seen the pictures, I'm sure. But I mean, our local Walmart, floor to ceiling, this is a full-length aisle all the way down, is normally nothing but toilet paper, and it is all gone, every bit of it. I'm like, oh, well, all right, figure something out. I guess I have to steal from work. Who knows? But it turns out the next morning I went to my local grocery. I was just stopping on the way to work, and because I wanted a Monster Java. Don't judge me. And while I was there, peeked around the corner, I was like, hey, they still have toilet paper here, and not only do they have toilet paper, they have my brand in the giant size package that I always buy. Because I always buy the one that has, you know, like, you know, 24 mega rolls in it or whatever it is. And I was like, oh my god, they have mine right here. I mean, not a lot of them, but they have them, so I bought them. 2 hours later, that was 7 in the morning, 2 hours later I showed up to fill some prescriptions, and I know the gal behind the counter, so we're joking about about toilet paper, and she's like, well, should have stopped here first. I mean, look, we've got a whole shelf, and she points up where they apparently had been storing all the extra toilet paper up on top of the freezer section. And she goes, oh, never mind, it's all gone now. So, yep, in 2 hours, they were already completely sold out of there. So, it's a funny story right this moment because, you know, we haven't yet gotten to shooting each other for our toilet paper, but, you know, we'll get there, I'm sure. And then now, next time I went back to Walmart for something, and again, we're not under quarantine yet. We're not, you know, they're not recommending, you know, they're just recommending caution right now in our area. And so next time I get to Walmart, so now the other side of that same shelf where they had facial tissue and paper towels and all that, now all of those are gone too because people apparently need to stock up on paper towels if they can't get toilet paper. So sad. We're not yet down to where they've stripped us of all of our frozen food yet. Apparently Colorado's there. So we got pictures from Denver showing that one. It's just going to be hard, right? We'll get through it. So anyway, next up on my fingertips list. Hey, we're doing some Godball development again, which is awesome. And specifically, Dave, who is the other half of the Godball development team, has had some free time. He got over his big hump of stuff, and he was having some free time, and so he's been developing for the last couple of weeks or so. And I mean, he's been just going crazy on the work. And now, unfortunately, being a musician, a lot of his gigs have been canceled, or all of his gigs have been canceled. I can't remember. So the downside is he may not have any money, but the upside is way more time for game development. So, you know, it's a balance. But anyway, the idea he came up with for Godball that was so amazing it's detailed. It doesn't make any difference. But it's a way of expanding your potential reactions to things within the game. And, you know, if you've never played, I guess it doesn't mean anything to you. But it was so cool. It's another one of these steps, and these are the big steps that we've taken in the last year since Gen Con, or 9 months since Gen Con. Is the big steps that we're taking are things that we want to maintain the core of the game while simplifying a lot of the rules. You know, why do we need this, this, and this? If we just do one little thing, why, that would cover all of those possibilities. And the things that don't get covered, well, did we really need them anyway? And it's kind of, we've just added some real nuance to the game by doing this. When I say we, because I'm going to take credit for anything Dave does. And I'm just thrilled with it. I think the game we've got now is 1,000% better than what it was at Gen Con last year. And the version we had at Gen Con last year was a great game. I mean, I played it. I should know. And so I'm very happy with where we're going with it. The thing that I keep meaning to do is we have a Godball Discord server for discussion of all things Godball. And it's also the place that we make arrangements for our playtests, because we're doing all of our playtesting right now is being done on Tabletop Simulator through Steam. And it's working out really well. Dave has been, originally we created a great tabletop simulator set for Godball, and now Dave has just run with it. Every time there's an update, he's got all the new graphics, all the new pieces, the new cards updated, everything. It's really good. And, so our tabletop simulator is, top notch right now. It looks great. It feels great. It's easy to play, and the game just keeps getting better. So, with the Discord server, what that means is those of you who are on Discord or who are willing to get on Discord to come join us for these discussions, I've got to remember to post up the Discord server information so that people can get to it. So, if I don't do that this week, remind me, and I will get to it. All right, or Dave will do it, because, again, he's clearly way more on top of stuff than I am. I am telling you, I don't know what it is. The last week, I am just scatterbrained. Just can't remember a damn thing. We had to go to my nephew's confirmation today, and we had the gift, and the gift is just it's a necklace for him, and so it's just a little tiny box that has the necklace in it. And as we're ready to leave, I'm like, Lisa's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking for the gift. I don't know where I put it. We had it all wrapped up. I grabbed it off the table where she had left it, and now I don't know where it is. And she says, well, is it in your pocket? And I said, no, of course it's not in my pocket because it doesn't fit in my pocket. So anyway, upshot of this story is 30 minutes later, it turns out it was in my pocket. And I'm just an idiot. like she asks if it's in my pocket, and I'm so sure it's not, I don't even bother to check. I didn't even bother to pat myself down and see if it was there. And okay, it wasn't really 30 minutes. It was, you know, more like 10 or 15, but still way too long when we should have been out the door already. And so it's like that kind of little thing, or like stuff I haven't done in ages. I had some scout stuff that I had to do, a bunch of badges to enter. We had a big meeting. Everyone brought in all their stuff. We reviewed what's been accomplished and what hasn't. And so I had all these papers with all the guys' stuff in it, and just needed to enter it into the into Scout Book, the official app that registers their badges, make sure they get credit for everything. And so I have to get all this done before the next meeting, so not a problem. I finally have some time, so I sit down to get it done. Don't know where the papers are. Don't know where they are. Here I am retracing my steps. Where would I have taken them out? What would I have done with them? And this is a common thing that, you know, you lose something and now you're backtracking. But this is the kind of thing that I used to do all the time. I've always been a little ADD, very scatterbrained. But you know, hasn't happened to me in a long time. I've found systems for keeping track of stuff and remembering what I need to do, and I've compensated. And now all of a sudden here, all the scout paperwork is missing, and it's not just that it's missing, it's that it's the only copy of it. We did this huge meeting with all this work to get all this down so that I could then enter it into the book, and now it's gone, and all that work is wasted, and I've let everybody down, and ultimately I found it. It was on my desk at work for some reason, so I must have opened my bag at work, taken it out so that I could get to something else, and then forgotten what I did with it. Again, just a boneheaded move. Man, I gotta stop doing that stuff. I hate being like that. So anyway, man. All right, I don't know if any of this is interesting. I don't know if you guys care. I just like talking. But anyway, again, now, finally, light at the end of the tunnel for this portion of the stress. So hopefully things are getting better. What do I have next for... All right, I did the God Ball with the Discord server. Sure. All right. Here's the other thing I noticed. I have talked to you guys about The Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week, which is a podcast from Popular Science, the magazine. And Weirdest Thing I Learned This Week is just, they always have three hosts that it's always, there's different ones that rotate in and out, but they're all editors over at Popular Science. And they each come to the table with the weirdest thing they learned this week, and then they share. All right. And they're just, it's really entertaining, super charming, super entertaining. But the last time I talked about them, I noted that I thought it was really cool that, for the most part, it's all young women who are doing this. Like, all the editors over at Popular Science, it's just a ton of women. And so of the, you know, 7, 8, 9 regular editors that show up, you know, maybe one of them is a dude, and all the rest are women, and I just find that very cool. Knowing that science is such a male-dominated world, as are so many realms in the United States today, it is cool to see young women coming up in this field. And then, like in the last couple of weeks, I've started to notice this, not just Weirdest Thing, it's Shortwave. Shortwave is the NPR podcast I listen to 15 minutes every morning to give me some science nugget. That it's just some fascinating thing about science and the world today. And that one is hosted by a woman named Maddie Safaya, and their lead reporter is Emily Kwong. And the two of them are, again, amazing, charming, fun to listen to, and, again, women. And then, all right, Story Collider, which is a science podcast. It's not necessarily journalism, but it's a collection of science stories. So it is just people telling stories, and all of these stories are in some way science related. It's usually by scientists, but not always. And hosted by two women, Erin Barker, Liz Neely. It just, Fast Forward is, who does Fast Forward? I mean, I'm trying to remember what company. It's some magazine you'd recognize. I can't remember. But anyway, Fast Forward is hosted by a young woman named Rose Eveleth. And I've been listening to that one for years. I love that one. All right. And so the point of this is that it just struck me that there's so many women in specifically these podcasts. This is science journalism. And so I was wondering what is the balance there? And I looked it up, and it turns out that even though, the people in charge of journalism and the media are two-thirds or better male, the students coming out of journalism schools are two-thirds female. So it's not just science journalism, it's all journalism. Journalism is a female field now, or at least, you know, for the up-and-comers. And so I'm interested to see what that gender dynamic does to the field as we move forward. I just found it interesting. And all of this, and the reason I made it a segment now, I mean, like, all of this is just stuff that's been brewing in the back of my brain. And Eli, my son, is signing up for classes. Oh my God, the cats are just going nuts tonight. Wow, that was weird. They're chasing each other. And so Eli, my son, is signing up for next year's classes, and he likes writing. And he's talked about journalism in the past, sort of. And so we said, well, you know, do you want to take journalism? I mean, they offer it. And he says, I don't know if I'd be comfortable. We're like, why? And he says, well, because it would be a class full of all girls and then just me. And like, really? So journalism is all girls? He says, almost completely, yeah. Like, weird. Weird that, like, and so high school students, and again, we talked with him about this, and ultimately, I don't think the journalism class would be something he would have enjoyed. Aiden took it years ago, and it wasn't what he was expecting from a journalism class. I don't know what we were really expecting, but knowing how it runs, I don't think it's really Eli's bag. But that's beside the point. The important point is, as a high school student, at least in this area, he views journalism, or at least journalism classes, as a female field. Like, that's just how he assumes things run. Weird. That's just crazy to me. So, anyway, again, I'm just interested to see how this develops over the next 10, 20, 30 years. This is really, really fascinating to me. So, all right. Next up. Another. All right, that was a cat walking on the keyboard. What is wrong with them tonight? Everything's still recording, so we'll call it good. erased part of my... All right, never mind. Doesn't matter. Really kind of screwed up our notes here. But that's all right. We'll work around it. Anyway, all right. The job I've had for frickin' ever, we upgraded to, you know, we merged a bunch of departments a bunch of IT groups have now merged, and we're all one big happy family. And we really are. Big happy family. Not kidding about that. Love it. One of the best things that's ever happened to us. So anyway, on our team, we have five people on our team. One of them quit, so we have an open position. And then one of them, lady that works, she works at the facility just down the road from us. But anyway, she's on our team, and she went and had a heart attack. I don't think she did it on purpose, but she did have a heart attack and a quadruple bypass, and so she's out for a while. Okay, you know. Again, bad timing with this whole COVID thing, so, you know, we're thinking of her. But while she's out, I have to cover for her. I know her facility better than the other guys, so generally if they need anything, I'm the point man on this, and so I go over and I help take care of stuff. And one of the things that that they needed help with is they have this volunteer database. They have lots of volunteers come in and put in hours working with them. And it actually qualifies as real volunteer hours. Like if you, if you need volunteer hours for your community service or your, or for high school credit or for, scouts or church or whatever thing it is, if you're someone who needs to have volunteer hours under your belt for some reason, these qualify. And so they keep a big database of all the volunteers that come in, what organizations they're connected to. And then that way, at the end of the year, they have a big, they have a luncheon where they give out, recognition and awards to the people who have helped serve their population there. And it's really cool. But here's the thing. The volunteer database is a database in Microsoft Office. And it is access. Microsoft Access. God, why could I not come up with that word? Anyway, it's a database in Microsoft Access. And so they need help because, once a year, they just, all year long, they just enter in the data for the volunteers. And so once a year now, they have to compile it so they can get ready for this luncheon award ceremony thing. And normally, Leanne would be taking care of that for them because, she's the one that helped them put it together, blah, blah, blah. And so now she's out on sick leave. And so they call me and they're like, Mike, you've got to come help us. All right, no problem. I show up. I know Access. I've done years worth of Access stuff. I mean, I'm a little rusty on it right now, but I know what I'm looking at, right? I didn't. I got there and thank God Leanne left incredibly detailed instructions on how to make this work and how to get the reports that they needed. And I mean, it involved at one point copying data out of the Access database, pasting it into an Excel spreadsheet, converting it into a pivot table, which I still don't know that I know exactly what a pivot table in Excel is. I've seen them. I've heard of them. They look super cool. But I mean, like, I guess I'm trying to convey a particular moment that happened here when I realized that, wow, this is just wondrous. Like what this woman can do with Excel. I mean, forget the Access stuff. I've done tons of really cool stuff in Access. Access is a database. It's powerful. It's built to do this kind of stuff. But like she found Access too limiting for her, and thus what she really needed to sort this data and get it into the format she needed was to put it back into Excel, which is, you would think, a step down, but it's not. It was incredible. It was like, by following her instructions, and this was the one limitation, is she is so good at this that providing instructions for mere mortals is a really tough task for her. I mean, like there's no way that the people there could have followed these instructions. I mean, the instructions were all there. If you followed them exactly, you could get it. Problem is that even I was struggling with, okay, so when she says click here, she means, oh, that's what she's talking about. So, like, I had enough familiarity that I pieced it together, but it was tough. There was no way they could have done it. But once I got it all together, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew that there was lots of amazing things that Excel could do, but it was like I didn't realize how amazingly powerful this program is in the right hands. And so it's not just about Excel. It's about suddenly discovering that something that you thought you had a good grasp on, it's just so much more amazing than you could have imagined. I mean, like, I sat there, and everyone else just thinks I'm an idiot because I'm telling this story to everybody. I'm like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. It was just like she told me to click here and here, and then I just sorted these things into these weird boxes on the right that I don't even know where the hell those boxes came from. And yet, when I dropped things into them, like she said, all of a sudden the table just sorted itself, and it gave me all of these statistics and numbers, and it was beautiful. It was like a vision of God for just a moment. It was just one of those things. it was just crazy. Just crazy. It was so inspiring. So anyway, that's my story about Excel. And so now I'm trying to simplify these instructions so that, because clearly she wrote up these instructions so that if she's unavailable or if she needs to turn it over, which we ultimately need to turn this stuff over to them so that they can do it for themselves. And so she tried to create these instructions so that they could handle it themselves. And yeah, they're not going to be able to follow those, but I'm trying to simplify them. And even then, it's like, man, I am just so close to grasping it. I'm so close to understanding what it does and how it works. I mean, I can get the instructions that they need. Like I can walk them through clicking on what I clicked on and giving them the pictures that do it. But oh man, makes me want to devote the hours it would take, to learn all of this because it was just that cool. It's not something that would be terribly useful to me, but would almost be worth knowing just because it was so freaking cool. Man. All right. Speaking of so freaking cool, I went out and got a tattoo this week, and I love it. Oh my God, I finally have the tattoo I've always wanted. And yes, it's on my right shoulder, and it is a gorilla, and the gorilla is looking very seriously out from my arm at you, and he has one hand up, and he is offering you a big blue 20-sided die, because he plays D&D, of course he does. And my gorilla is awesome, and I love him, and he's not quite done yet. I sat in that chair for 8 hours to get this gorilla. He is the tattoo artist referred to it as a half sleeve. I don't know if I'd really call it a half sleeve, but it does, I mean, it covers me from, you know, top of my shoulder almost down to my elbow, so I suppose. But man, he's huge and he's gorgeous. And now I got to go back for about 4 more hours worth, cause it's full color. So it's going to be all right now. He's black and white, except for the big blue 20-sided die. And so now I'm going to go back in and he's going to fill in all the rest of the color, get me the shades of gray and brown and some green background and this kind of stuff. Anyway, my gorilla's awesome. And it's my first tattoo and I love it. It is, whenever anyone asks, I say it's my midlife crisis because I'm just about to turn 50. And so I say, yeah. For my midlife crisis, I decided to get a tattoo and learn to play the banjo because it was way cheaper than, you know, a sports car and an affair. So some people find that funny. Some people don't. I personally do. And so anyway, my tattoo is amazing. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I didn't expect is – and for those of you who have tattoos, I don't know if your experience is the same. I hope so. Is I didn't expect how empowering this would be. Like to feel it, to own it, to know that, this is something I chose to do to my own body. This is mine. It's empowering. It is, I am invincible. I am 10 feet tall. You know what I mean? It's great. And it makes me completely understand the addictive nature of tattoos. The way, because everyone says, oh yeah, once you get one, man, that's it. You're not going to be able to stop. And I'm like, I get when my brother-in-law, you know, 15 years ago when he was, you know, dirt poor and just barely making ends meet, and yet suddenly he'd show up with a brand new $400 tattoo. And it's like, and in my head, I'm like, how can you go spend money on a tattoo when you've got all this other, I mean, you barely have a pot to piss in. You're going to spend money on it. Nope, I get it. I totally get it now. Yeah, of course you would, because they're friggin' awesome. It's just super cool. And I want so many more. We're going to finish this one up and then, maybe. Because this one is huge and pricey. So, you know, maybe a few years down the road, I'll start looking at other ones. Maybe, but maybe I don't need them at this point. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe the gorilla's enough for me. But I love the tattoo. And I also, I've shared pictures with some of the people out there. But I should really post them on the website. I should start a new thread in the forums for my new tattoo, and then I can update it when I go back in. What is it? 2 more weeks? What's April 3rd? 3 weeks? 2.5? Anyway, 2.5. There you go. And so I'll go back for the finishing touches on it, and super excited. It's just so cool. Okay, last bit. My last fingertip thing here just says, moving to a toddler bed. We were doing laundry and getting some old totes emptied out and make sure everything was cleaned up, looking to see what stuff we could donate and what stuff we would save. And found bedding for a toddler bed, like just tucked away down there. And so Eli was there with me, and I got to talking to him about it. And I'm like, and he's like, wait, those were mine. I'm like, yeah, those actually were yours. We got them for you. And it was, as I was describing it to him, and this was a few days ago. And so now the magic of that moment has kind of escaped me a little bit, but my memory of it from talking to him was this, man, moving to a toddler bed. I remember that being such a big step for each of our kids. I mean, and I was trying to explain to Eli, you go to a toddler bed because, you know, it's a small bed. It's just the size for a kid that age. And it also means that you don't have to buy another mattress because you just take the mattress out of the crib, get some sheets with, Lightning McQueen on it instead of teddy bears or whatever. And then you just drop that same mattress right there on the toddler bed frame. Super cheap, super easy. But each time we did that for all four of our boys, it was just it was one of those milestone moments that was really huge, because it was granting them this measure of freedom, this level of trust and understanding between them that, you know what, you can get in and out of your own bed whenever you damn well please. That's a huge step, right? And which also, look, for all of our boys, by the time we moved them into a toddler bed, it's not like they hadn't learned to climb out of the crib anyway. I mean, that's like one of the real motivators for the toddler bed is like they're getting up anyway. This way they don't risk falling on their head. So, you know, it's a balance. But still, I don't know. It was just a very nostalgic thing because, you know, Noah just turned 14. So we are a long way away from toddler beds. And I don't miss those days so much as I just remember them fondly. And I'm happy for the memories that we have. I mean, look, after four boys, you know, I'm one that just signs off on each new experience and goes, well, that's the last time we ever have to do that. Whew, wash my hands of that experience. That's great. But you know, that move into a toddler bed, again, milestone. It's really awesome. So not saying I want more kids, not saying I want to go through it again, but I love the memory of it. I think it was cool. So, all right. Enough of me being all maudlin and stuff here. You know what time it is? Yeah, that's right. It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me, hey, Ron, about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be, and we're not going to do a lot because, you know, told you, late, tired, my whole family's in bed. That's why if I've been kind of quiet and reserved here, it's because everyone's sleeping and I don't want to wake anybody up. But our first number is 13. And 13, if I open up, there it is. 13 is from, oh wow, that's weird. It's from Aiden, who is not here. Go figure. And Aiden says, bed, wed, or behead. Sandra Bullock movie edition. Huh. Speed, except the Keanu Reeves role is played by Steven Seagal. Okay. Wait. Sandra Bullock, okay, so Speed with Steven Seagal, Gravity, except the George Clooney role is played by Steven Seagal, ugh, or a Miss Congeniality Bird Box mashup. Oh my god, this is great. All right, so Speed with Steven Seagal, Gravity with Steven Seagal, or Miss Congeniality Bird Box mashup. Clearly, I'm going to have to bed the Miss Congeniality Bird Box mashup, because doesn't that sound hot? That is just wild, right? I mean, like with all that slapstick goofy comedy combined with the fear and tension of Bird Box, I mean, that would be a roller coaster ride. So clearly, we're going to bed that one. And then I am going to... Man, I'm going to have to behead Gravity with Steven Seagal in the George Clooney role, which means I will wed... Oh, man, do I really want to wed... Do I want to wed anything with Steven Seagal in it? Oh, God, no, I can't. I can't. I mean... Oh, God darn it. All right, no. All right, I'm going to have to... Oh, but do I really want to wed... There's no good choices here. All right, let's change it up. I will marry the Miss Congeniality Bird Box mashup, because there's no Steven Seagal in it, so I can stay married to that forever. And then I will bed Speed starring Steven Seagal and still behead Gravity. There, that works for me. Oh, that was harsh, Aiden. Harsh. Next one is 55. Excellent. And 55 comes from... There it is. It's from Ronster. Hey, Ron. There we go. And Ron says, what is the last mistake each of you have made, and how can you blame it on each other? Ooh. All right. I'm going to take the number off of this and leave it in the mix so that Aiden can get this too, because I think that'll be way more fun. And did we already do this one before and we left it in here on purpose? I think we did. Anyway, the last mistake was losing that gift that wound up being in my pocket. See, here's the thing. Aiden's a monster. He's gaslighting me. I mean, he does stuff like this all the time to make me think I'm losing my mind, when clearly it's a ploy, and I don't know what his endgame is, but it's maddening. So he literally sneaks into the house, takes the gift off the end of the couch where I left it, and plants it in my pocket before he sneaks back out. He's freaking crazy. He is nuts. He will stop at nothing. Do not cross him, because he's dangerous. Oh, he's terrible. 44. So yeah, I'm gonna put Ron's question back in the mix, because I like it, and the answer is gonna change every time. All right. So now, this one's from Kyle. Kyle gave me a Rogomatic. Nice. Fred Rogers is largely considered the godfather of children's television. He considered his television show to be his way of ministering to children. What do you think of this approach and of Mr. Rogers generally? All right. Mr. Rogers, I love Mr. Rogers. I loved him when I was a kid. I admire him greatly. I think he was a truly good human being and a great role model, and I love pretty much everything about him. I think Mr. Rogers is great. So, Kyle then goes on to say, did you know that when you turned the TV off, his show kept going and he didn't wait for you to come back? I learned that when I was 4. Oh, that must have been so sad. Yeah, I remember learning that lesson. I remember learning that lesson probably at about 4 or 5 years old. I can't remember. But we went to Carol's. Remember Carol's over on in Plattsburgh? And it was Carol's between the two wings of the air base. We lived on New Base at the time. And then there was also Old Base. And in between the two was Carol's, which later became Burger King. But in our day, it was Carol's, and it was just a fast food restaurant. And I remember going there, and we were eating, and I remember while we were eating, I was panicking. And They finally asked me what my problem was, and I said I wanted to hurry up and finish the meal so that we could get back in time so I could finish watching my program before bedtime. And they laughed at me. I think it was Mom in particular was laughing at me and explained, "Oh, honey, no, no, the show keeps going when you're not there. I mean, it's over now." And then I can't remember if I cried or not, but it was very, very disappointing. I did not like that idea at all. The other interesting thing about, now that I'm thinking about that Carol's, that later became a Burger King, I think that was the same Burger King. Yeah, it was the same Burger King that we got our D&D tables from. Old Burger King booths converted to D&D tables. That was awesome. Anyway, that Burger King was right next to a movie theater. And I remember being a kid and us driving by there, and they were playing a rated X movie in that movie theater, because that was a day and age when every once in a while, I mean, it may even have been Deep Throat, for all I can remember. That was a day and age when, you know, rated X movies occasionally hit mainstream movie theaters. Weird, right? What an odd memory. So, not that I went to see it, I just remember seeing the marquee, you know, proudly advertised. Weird. You know what? That's as good a place as any to end the Pod-O-Matic. And we'll turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
"No way."
And then I was all, "We pretended we were going to murder you."
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Just Fingertips, because again, lazy. All the songs I use are available on a variety of music services. Check them out, listen to them, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast and whatever podcatcher you use, and then write us a nice review or write a really crappy review, as long as you give it 5 stars, because that's what makes the difference to the algorithm. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, and I know you do, you should be recommending it to your friends. Honestly, you know nerds. You are a nerd. You're glad to share. So if you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Pod-O-Matic. Let me know if you want to be included in Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some social media that I never look at. But seriously, be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And that really is the end. Normally, this would be the time for Listener Betrayal, but I didn't start recording until well after 10 o'clock Central Time, which means that I don't want to be pinging everybody in the middle of the night. So I suppose I could have sent one to Dave, because, you know, he's Mountain Time Zone and he's not working. So Dave would have talked to me. He's my friend. Well, I get actually probably any of you would have. I get it. You guys are great. But honestly, I wanted to cut this one short. So, look, it's a dangerous world out there. Everyone just stay safe. You know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Follow the guidelines. Keep away from people. We're good at that, right? There you go. I'll be thinking about all of you. I love you. Please take care of yourselves. Come back and listen to me next week, week after, whatever it is, every 2 weeks. That's how often I do this. So, you guys are the best. Thank you for being here. Say goodnight, R2. Good night, guys. Have a good week.